All right. I'm back. Yeah. Wow. I kind of wanted to come up to that music. It was just, you know, I don't know if you're sitting in the seats. Now, I know Baptists, we don't like to dance much. I don't know if we're loud or not, but you just kind of feel like just saucing my way up to the stage. And it is great to be here this morning. I am so thankful that I get to be sharing not just this Sunday, but this whole week and next Sunday with you. And Lord willing, very soon we will be here for good. It has been a journey. This time it was a whole lot easier getting down here. Last time I chronicled my whole journey of my 12 hours in LAX airport and the delight that was and everything that goes along with airports and everything. But this time I was here in like 4 hours. It was great. I just got to Vancouver and first I got on the plane in Regina, and people have been saying, is it really that cold there? And I noticed a lot of you are wearing sweaters. And I woke up this morning, I walked outside, I'm like, you guys stole summer. Like, it's winter up there. It was 7 degrees last week up there. And that makes me very angry. I'm not going to lie. When you walk out, you always know who is, when you get to the airport, you know who's going to someplace hot because everyone has their parkas on, and whoever's dropping them off, all of a sudden you just see families just peeling off the layers of parkas and everything, throwing them into the car and then going. And you always say to yourself the exact same thing, which is the same thing I said, is when I get back, it won't be that cold. I can surely make it to the car. And then the moment you get home and you walk out the doors, you say, I've made a horrible mistake. But it is good to be here. I'm by myself this week. Sarah was not able to join us, and the boys are not here. No, I didn't just realize that when I got to Vancouver or anything like that. I wasn't like, oh, wow, security seemed really easy to go through this morning. I don't know what I'm missing, but it is. They wanted to be here, and they're hoping and praying that this visa comes through really quick, and I know you have been praying, and so we appreciate it so much. One of the things that you may or may not know about me, I can't remember if Sarah shared it, is when I'm by myself, not just when I'm by myself, all the time I'm colorblind. And so when I travel by myself, every morning I have to take a picture of myself in the mirror and text Sarah and be like, does this work? Or... it's a bit of a guess whether Sarah is angry at me or not. So if I'm not matching this morning, you know how Sarah feels. If I am matching this morning, I'm doing all right. And that's just so, well, you don't have to tell me which one it is. Ignorance is bliss in this scenario. And so I'll just think that I match. But really, it is so great to be here, and we've been just praying about this so much as we get ready to move down here, and just praying for the whole immigration process. And again, I know all of you have, and so many of you have, and so we just really, truly appreciate it. This week, I'm going to be hanging out at all sorts of different places and just getting to know Sunrise more. I get to be in the office on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And in the evenings, my plan is to just hang out at Bible studies or kids/youth events. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm grading based on where the snacks are, but I'm saying it's going to be I'm just going to be wandering around this weekend and just getting to be a part of Sunrise. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to and getting to know all of you more and getting to know Sunrise more. The next 2 weeks, we're starting in on we'll call it a mini-series, because that's the only amount of time that I'm down here for. So it's a mini-series, and we're going to be looking at Beyond These Walls. Last time I was down, we talked about us being ascending people. What it means for us to realize that God is constantly sending us, that God has us on mission. And we looked at the story of Abram in Genesis chapter 12 as he was sending Abram out and this blessing that he gave him, and also realizing that it's not going to be easy the whole time. And that is part of the process. As we go through life and we hear God calling, we realize that sometimes the places that I want to be are not the places that God wants us to be. And there's even times where I can say, we both got that same goal. We both want to get from point A to point B, yet I've got a different route that I want to take, and God's got a different one saying, this is the way it's going to happen. We've been living it out a bit with immigration, and of course, we want to be down here as fast as possible, and God's saying, you know what? I've got something in store. I've got something planned, and my timing is perfect. And when I hear that over and over of God's timing is perfect, it takes away so much of that anxiety. It takes away so much of that worry. And I think that translates to the passage we're looking at this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to be reading from verses 2 to 8, or 2 to 6, I should say. And as we're, it says 2 to 8 up there, but I've clearly already made my first mistake on the PowerPoint. But it is, we're going to be reading through this, and in Colossians, at the end in chapter 4, we see Paul giving this encouragement, giving this exhortation, giving them this message of what to do next. Because it's so easy for us to be defined by what we are inside the walls of church, yet when we walk outside the walls of the church, all of a sudden, worries start to creep in, and somehow we think that our definition has changed about who we are. Yet as we walk outside the walls of any church, of wherever we find ourselves, I'm a Christ follower inside church, but when I walk out those walls, I'm also a Christ follower. Does the mission change? Absolutely not. And Paul gives us some very interesting points on how we should start walking outside the walls of our church. This week we're kind of saying, what does life on the inside look like? And next week we'll look at what is life on the outside and how does this all relate to us? And I really believe that as we look at this passage, we'll see that there's not only intercession, but there's also evangelism that really is taking place through this beautiful passage where Paul says, hey church, this is what I need for you. He asks some things for himself, for them to pray for, and he gives them some notice on how to move forward. So let's read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and be thankful. And pray for us too that God may open a door in our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, I want to propose this morning something that is probably not revolutionary to us. It's something that's probably not very new to us, but it's the fact that every Christ follower is a missionary. We're not just contractors of missionaries as a church. We are missionaries ourselves. As we go out, as we look at the communities where we live in, we have to understand that we ourselves are missionaries. That we are a church on mission. But even more importantly than that, that we are a people on mission, on God's mission. And every Christ follower is a missionary, and it's part of it is understanding our own context. It doesn't matter if you're introverted or if you're extroverted or if you think you're not good at evangelism or you think that you can't connect well with others or whatever it is, we are called to a life of mission. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the context in which we live? Understanding context, it tells us it plays a very important role in our lives. If you look at the word behind me, we've got a word there, right? Now, this isn't some trick on lingo or anything like that. I'm not going to put up the word roof, and we say, what word is this? And you're like, roof. And I say, no, it's roof. Or as a great way to tell, I'm sure someone has made the joke already, that the way you can tell if you're talking to a Canadian is you utter the phrase, I'm out in about in a boat. Right? And when you get us going sometimes, we'll just be like, I'm ootin' a bootin' a boot, right? And so context plays a very important role, even in the language that we use, right? Behind me, I have a word. Is it live or is it live, right? And I can say, I went to see some live music. Or I could say, I live where there's 8 months of snow. And just using a random example. But depending on what sentence and what words are before and what words are after determines how I pronounce that word. But when we read it on our paper, when we look at a sentence of it or a phrase of it, and we're reading that, we don't even think twice about it, right? Because we understand the context and we know how to pronounce it. And that message is the same for us as we walk out the doors and take a look at our community, as we try and understand and the context of where we live, so we know how to react in sharing the gospel. That is just a second nature to us, that as we go out and we say, there's the needs of our community. I know exactly how to react in all of the scenarios where I am, whether in work or school or just out in the community that we live in, because I understand the context of where we live, who I am called to be, and that message that I am called to share with others. We can really take a look at this, and we answer the question of where do you live, right? And we can say, where do you live? And the answer can be, yes, well, I live in Fair Oaks. Yes, I live in Orangevale. Yes, I live in Folsom. Yes, I live in Citrus Heights. And yes, I did another Google search, and yes, I live in Rancho Cordova. See, I learned a new one. Yes. You're welcome, Rancho Cordovians, or whatever you're called. But we ask the question, where do you live? And we can look out and we can answer that question really easy, can't we? Where do I live? Even down to my neighborhood. But then the question is, do you dwell where you live? Jesus moved into the neighborhood, and no matter what, when Jesus moved into Galilee, when Jesus started dwelling in Israel, lives changed forever, for good and for bad. We said that in Luke chapter 2, it says in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus would be the rise and the fall of many, and that message isn't the same. As we walk out onto our streets, the story and the message of Jesus will be the rise and the fall of many. So many will reject him. Yet that doesn't stop us, because so many, as we persistently pursue the gospel message, lives will change for the better as they come to know Jesus for the first time. Which tells us that despite the persecution, despite everything that's going on, do we need to be held back? And the answer is no. So we ask ourselves, do we actually dwell where we live? Do we understand where we live? Not just saying, I know the name of the place or the zip code or whatever it is where I live, but it's saying, where are the needs for not just us as a church of Sunrise, but for me as an individual, for where I spend every day? We can see this. We can see this in our passage that Paul is calling for prayer. We see that Paul is not only calling for prayer, but he's calling for doors to be opened where he is serving. Even as he's writing the church, we see that he's asking for prayer for himself as well in the ministry that he is in. And this idea of context and this idea of responding to the gospel message is something that is very important for us to do. Because life inside these walls is comfortable, isn't it? Isn't it like it's nice in here? I feel safe in here. I get to learn in here. I get to be equipped in here. But I gotta be willing to take it outside the walls. And we all love that comfort of life, don't we? Whatever it is. And I'm sure you will have something that resonates with this, but I've got a lot of things that I find comfortable, things that I really love. One of the things that I have is I've got my comfy shirt. And it is a shirt, yes, I may be reliving the glory days a little bit, but it's my practice jersey from when I played college volleyball. And I love this shirt. Now, I played college volleyball like 12-ish years ago, uh, and And so this is a very old, it's fairly tattered, and I love this shirt. Now, would it surprise you to know that Sarah detests this shirt? Right? And we may all have it, right? Our comfy pants, our comfy shirt, whatever it is, it could be in that one item of clothing that you always love to wear on work days or to formal events or whatever it may be that you love. And this shirt has gone missing multiple times, and it's usually found in the deepest, darkest corner of Sarah's closet or something like that, or in the burn pile or in the garbage, but it always makes it out safely. I brought it with me because I was worried that she'd hear this message online. Because I want it safe. And so, but I mean, I can let go of it anytime, right? But I'm comfortable. I love this stuff, right? It can be the foods that I love. When I go back to back home and visit my parents, I love it. My mom texts me before I arrive, and she says, "What are the things you want for meals for this week or these 3 days?" Parents, maybe you get this as your kids are off at school. Students, maybe you get this as you're heading back. And I'm like, well, the first morning, I want bacon. And for lunch, I want your macaroni casserole. And for supper, I want a turkey dinner. And for the next day, I want roast beef. And then I want this casserole, which is my favorite. And my brothers and sisters who live there are like, what is going on here? Like, is this the festival of Luke? Don't get me wrong, it has a very nice ring to it. But everything I want, I can list off all of these things that make me feel comfortable, right? Yet, I think that's the same way that we look at church sometimes, is I've got my Bible study, I've got all these things inside these walls, yet am I willing to step out of my comfort zone for the sake of the gospel? Am I willing to step out of my comfort zone to see God's kingdom grow? And here we see this very clearly, and really two parts of this passage. The first part really talks about prayer and this need and this constant need to speak and talk to God. The second part is the idea of proclamation. We can talk to God about all the things we need, but are we willing to also proclaim to others about what God has been doing in our lives? And we can see this right at the very beginning. We see in verse 2, it answers the question for how do we pray? And we discover all sorts of helpful guidelines along this verse. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and be thankful. Really, Paul gets us back to the basics, doesn't he? This idea of praying with faithfulness. To devote oneself to adhere to relentlessly pursue prayer with God. To relentlessly pursue speaking with our Heavenly Father. Do we relentlessly pursue this? And I have to ask myself this question as well, because it's so easy to get in the comfort or get in the routine of saying, well, I prayed before all of my meals, and I prayed before I went to bed, and sometimes I get into this this rut or where I just find that I'm saying the same thing. Right? We can probably say it, right? I remember, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy, daddy, grandpa, grandma, and that's kind of how I was raised, praying that, right? And you may have said that prayer before, and I remember doing it, right? And absolutely, that is a heartfelt prayer, and I meant every bit about it. But in every aspect of life outside of meals and before bed, am I relentlessly pursuing a relationship and conversing with God? To pray with faithfulness, to be devoted to prayer. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the apostles devoted themselves to prayer, to the teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread, to their prayer life. This idea of faithfulness is so important in our prayer lives. I know that we've been doing this. I know that you've been doing this for us as we've been getting ready to move. But in every aspect of our life, are we truly faithfully praying to God that he would answer prayers? In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. Paul is saying, always be ready to break into prayer. Be ready to do it at any time, and be ready to pray with anybody. Which means when someone says, I need prayer for this, or can you pray for me for this? You don't say, you know what? I'll write that down and I will pray for it this week. You say, let's pray for it right now. Paul is saying, let's pray immediately for what is on your heart and where you need prayer. And that is a very tough thing to do. We don't find ourselves often doing it. But we see it goes beyond faithfulness. It goes to thankfulness, and pray for thankfulness. We should never pray without thinking that this is just a me thing that I'm doing. But looking back and realizing that what we are thankful for and what God has been doing in our own lives. Now, I was really hoping that I was somehow going to manage 2 turkey dinners this year. Because Canadian Thanksgiving is in October. And I was really hoping, although from what I understand, there's a nice turkey dinner here this Wednesday, or I think it is. I hope so. I'm showing up for turkey anyways. But I was hoping I'd be able to get, you know, 2 Thanksgivings out of this. But I leave just beforehand. But it's this time, right, where we remember what we're thankful for. We just finished a weekend where it's Remembrance Day. Up in Canada, I think Veterans Day is what it is down here, where we remember those who fought for our freedoms, where we remember the sacrifices that were made for us. And in our own lives and in our life as Christ followers, that's also the same message. Do we remember the sacrifice? And are we thankful for that sacrifice that was made for each and every one of us? Are we thankful for how God has provided over the last week, the day, the month, and the year? Pray with thankfulness. We thank him for his presence. We thank him for his provision, for his pardons, for his promises, for his purpose in our life. When verse 2 asks, how do we pray? Verse 3 poses another question. What do we say when we pray? How do we go about talking to God? And what we see is something that's very clear. That's something that is clear for us as we start to go beyond the walls of this church and start to look at our community and start to say, how can we pray for the impact that we can make? And it's a prayer that I want us to be able to pray over the course of this week and over the course of this month. And the first one is that we should have opportunities to share the gospel. Right? That God, I pray that as I walk out these doors on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or whenever I'm leaving my house or even in my house, that I pray that I will have opportunity to share the gospel. That you will make known to me the opportunities to share the gospel. And then as we take a look at this, Paul says, I love this, Paul says, a great door for effective work has opened to me. In 1 Corinthians 16:9. And in fact, here we actually see that he's asked them for prayer, that his message would be heard, that people would want to hear the message. It's not just about him delivering the message, it's that God would soften the hearts of our community and soften the hearts of the community where Paul was to hear God's word, to be receptive to it. Also, we see this next great spot, which is that when presented, when those opportunities present themselves, we will proclaim the name of Jesus clearly. That Jesus' name will be proclaimed, because that is more important to anything. That despite everything that I do, despite how nice that I am, being nice to someone is not going to win them over at the end of the day. The name of Jesus is the only thing that can save. The salvation comes through him, through his death on the cross, and me acknowledging that. And understanding that my sins are forgiven, that I realize that no matter all the good that I do and everything that I may do, that nothing saves except Jesus. And so we need to proclaim that name clearly outside the walls of this church. We need to proclaim it clearly outside our doors, wherever we may find ourselves. And it is not easy, right? And yet, I am surprised over and over how resilient we can be in anything in life. It's not just everyday things, but it's in sharing the gospel when we truly say, God, I will go. I was out in Kelowna teaching golf when I was in college. I was working there in the summer, and there was a kid, I was out there with about, I don't know, like 10 to 15 little kids. I'd say little kids about 5 to 7 years old. And I've been teaching them the whole time in the week. And I would give little prizes as I would go from place to place. And we'd do different drills and all of that stuff. And it was the last day, and I thought I'd make it a little interesting. So I usually give a prize and a can of Coke when we get back to the camp. And we're out there, and all of a sudden, a little groundhog, a big groundhog comes out about 150 yards out with about 4 little babies. And it's 150 yards. These kids have not hit it more than like 50 yards all week. And so I say, hey, guys, I'll tell you what. If you can hit that groundhog, I'll give you a can of Coke. This is more of a story that hunters will enjoy. And so... So sure enough, the first kid steps up, and it's this little six-year-old, and he steps up, and he cranks it, and it's a worm burner. It's traveling like perfect groundhog height, like the whole way. And you know when you've unleashed the power of these kids, because they're like, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at him, and his smile's growing, and I'm looking at the ball, and I'm like, and then the groundhog, then the ball, I'm like, everything goes into slow motion when you're like, oh no, you know, I've made a horrible mistake. And sure enough, boom, smack, first ball, mom groundhog's down. Now, my first worry is, oh my goodness, there's going to be so many strongly worded letters coming into the camp tomorrow. But... then I had about 10 screaming 5 and 6 year olds who just are now, you killed the mommy, you know? And I'm like, oh no, you know? And I'm like, no, I'm sure she's fine. Oh my goodness, what about the babies? Like, we need to rescue. I'm like, how am I gonna explain bringing like 4 baby groundhogs back to camp and all this? Now the good news is, for you animal lovers, the mom got up. Took a while, but she got up, and I'm sure as groundhog lives go, she lived a very full life, and got to see grand groundhogs and like all those sorts of things. But I just think about this, and like all it took was one word for these 5, 6, and 7 year olds that was like, if you can do this, which is something you've never done before in your life, I will give you a can of Coke. Right? And I went back and I started thinking about this. I'm like, how difficult is it then when we propose something to go out into our communities, see where God is calling us, and truly say go and share that gospel even if we feel uncomfortable about it, even if we may not have done it before, but knowing that eternal life is with that. If I say go and share the gospel and it can change someone's life for eternity, I mean, even I know that's better than a can of Coke, right? And yet, what is our motivation? It's to be able to share and see God's kingdom grow, to see people have eternal life as they come to know Him, whether they're our neighbors, they're our friends, our family, the people in our workplace, whatever it is. We sometimes stop when we think it's unattainable. But if there's anything that we learned from even just the songs that we sang this morning, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that moves mountains with His voice, the same power that calms the seas with His voice is the power that lives in us. What on earth are we afraid of? If God is for us, then nothing can stand against us. Now, I like movies, and back in the day, and this may date myself, but there was a movie of, I can't remember his name. He was a Scottish guy, and it was Mel Gibson, and he was Scottish, and he gave this, Braveheart, that's it, and he gave this, like, rousing speech, right? And he'd be like, you know, oi, you know, And they're like, "Oi!" You know, and they're ready to go. And Ellie's like, "Yeah, we're going to die today." You know, and they're like, "Yeah." You know, and he's like, "Are you with me?" You know, and he's going, and they're giving this great speech. And I wondered myself, what does that look like in church this morning? Now, I'm sorry for any Scottish people that I'm about to butcher some sort of accent with, but what does it look for us when we say, "Oi!" And you're just like, and I'm like, "Are you ready to share the gospel this week?" And you're like, "Oi!" You know, and I say, "Are you ready to share it with your neighbors? Are you ready to share it with your friends? Are you ready to share it with your office mates?" I'm sure that's how they talk. And you're all like, "Oi!" You know? I mean, if the churches gets a bit of strongly worded letters, or there's a large following online from Scotland, I apologize right away. My name is Cliff Carey, and you can... You could send me an email at cliff@... Oh, it's something that we need to be, you know, all jokes aside, are we ready to speak? Are we ready to speak? Verse 5 and 6 says, be ready to speak. Be ready to speak when those opportunities are presented with us, to us. Verse 5 focuses on how we walk. Verse 6, there's this emphasis on how we talk and where we go from here. It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. We need to think about how we are actually presenting the gospel to others. And it goes beyond that, doesn't it? It goes beyond just being wise in how we present it. It's also saying, how can I be gracious in when I'm sharing the gospel? And I want to suggest that part of it is being able to tell your own story and share about the, not only the mistakes that you've made in your life, but where God has been present in your life during those mistakes and how God is this great reconciler. We share hope of God and the hope of Christ for a reason. Because it's the only hope that saves, no matter what anybody else is looking for. But be gracious, it says. It challenges us to be on guard for what comes out of our mouth. Let our words be wise. Let our conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And just be ready. Be ready to answer. And this morning, maybe you are here and you're saying, what is this hope that Luke is talking about? You're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, like, who is this Jesus that says, how do I get this eternal life? And I want to share that with you. I want to talk more about that with you. I know that there are people up here after the service, I believe, who are here to pray, or there's a place where you can go and get prayer. If you need prayer for something you're struggling with, people are here to say, let's do this right now. Don't shy away from that. But be ready in every scenario. Our goal is to move beyond the walls of this church, to move out of our comfort zones to a place where, although uncomfortable for us, where God wants us to thrive. How do we become missional missionaries? How do we look at this? Moving beyond, moving to an external focus, pushing the church from not only just doing missions, but being on mission, where every person here is a missionary. Your context will look different. Where you work looks different. Who you spend your days with looks different, but the message does not change. Moving to that external focus for whatever it may be. And there's so many things that are happening, whether it's at home, at work, in the neighborhood, at the ballpark, wherever you may find yourself, you are a follower of Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want so badly for you to become one. And you can say, well, Luke, you don't even know me yet. And I will say, it doesn't matter. I can tell you right now in this room, and I can say it wholeheartedly, and I mean it with all of my heart, that there is no place on earth that I would rather be. There is no place or no thing that I would rather be doing than to share Jesus with you and see you come to know him personally. And that should be our mission too, that no matter where we are in life, our jobs are our jobs, but our vocation, our life is that of a missionary. And there should be nothing on earth that we would want to do that we wouldn't stop in order to share Jesus with someone and to see God's kingdom grow. As I call the worship team up for one last song, I really hope that this week we ask that question of ourselves, of what is your mission field this week? What are the needs in the community where you are? Where are you going to make an impact? When missionaries go overseas, usually the first 2, 3, or 4 years before they go on furlough for the first time is spent getting to know the neighborhood. And they learn the language, they get to know the people, they get to know the customs, they get to know everything about where they're serving. So when they start serving, they're able to go in wholeheartedly and be full throttle for the gospel. And I think this week, I want us to, we're not going to take 4 years, Sunrise, I'm telling you right now to do that. I want us to start doing it this week. I want us to start looking at our neighborhood and saying, what is my mission field? Where does God need me to be this week? And then when I look at the end of the week and I can say, well, where did God put me in this week? What are some things that I need to grow from? And am I going to pray for, am I going to be thankful? Am I going to be faithfully praying that I will relentlessly pursue the gospel? I will relentlessly pursue others to share the gospel with. Where are we going to make an impact? Not just Sunrise. But as individual Christ followers, where are we going to make an impact? And how are we going to serve? When we fall into God's will, when we follow, when we start to look at our lives as one as missionaries, we say to God, I'm willing to go. Are we truly willing to do this wholeheartedly? Because I can tell you right now, that when you do, you better buckle up. Because when you follow God, exciting things are going to happen. When you speak into people's lives about Jesus, exciting things are going to happen. And next week, we're going to take a look at life on the outside. How we really start to discover the excitement that happens in our community and what it really looks like to live as missionaries. To live in this world as Christ followers. Impacting day in and day out with the message of Jesus. And I'm super excited for that. So let me just pray. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you call us to all be missionaries. That you call us to be a people on mission. You call us to be a church on mission. God, soften our hearts. So that we are willing to go. We are willing to look at our neighborhood, our community, where we live, where we work, where we play, in a way that we see how we can impact it through your message of hope, through your story. God, soften our hearts to just be willing to listen to those around us. Listen to the hurt that is going on outside these walls and inside these walls, God, knowing that you are the great reconciler. That there are people hurting, God. That you are the great healer. There are people who are struggling in the chaos of life, that you are peace. And with your peace and with your healing and with all of the different things, God, we cannot separate the peace of God from the presence of God. And we know that you are here with us. And we know that you are here with us when we go outside these walls. And we know that you are with us when we walk into our schools, we walk into our workplaces, or whatever tomorrow may bring for us. God, you are there. Let us relentlessly pursue your will as we relentlessly pursue others, as we try and share the gospel, as we share the gospel with them. We are thankful. We pray. God, let us be ready to act. Present opportunities with us this week. And when those opportunities present themselves to us, God, give us the words to say. My prayer is that your kingdom will grow, God, as we take this message to the streets, to our neighborhoods. Let us dwell where we live. And let the gospel dwell where we live. I just pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen.